and that's okay. That's all we need is one, amen. And I see a lot of older looking kids too, sitting some in the back. I see one with a red hat on. And so we've got some older kids here tonight, amen. Somebody get Miss Sarah down in the game room, please. You know, we're going to have a good time, and we're looking forward to it. And I know that there's going to be some more coming tomorrow. And listen, it's going to be good. It's going to be a blessing this week. So we're going to go ahead, Pastor Silcott. I'm going to let you kind of take over for this part and just come and do your service. So go ahead, brother.
Good evening. Yes, thanks for coming to Vacation Bible School. The Bible. Turn it on? Okay. Oh, I'm on my stream. You can't hear me. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, Pastor, here's the one that you guys know. So you guys got to sing it nice and loud. Okay, here it is. That's right. Yes, yep. Well, up for water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark, I can't see. And I'm not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. The truths are many, believers are few, but one thing I found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Very good. And you guys keep standing, keep standing. You got a Bible in your hand, right? You know that song, the B-I-B-L-E? You know that song? How does that go? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. Yes, very good. You may be seated. All right. All right. Do you have any announcements or anything after that, Pastor? No, we're going ahead. All right. Very good. Good singing. Awesome. Go ahead and turn that down or off or whatever it's called. It's good to see you all tonight. Thanks so much for coming. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer as we get started tonight. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God that we can stand upon, that we know that it's true, that there's no error, and that, Father, we thank you for the promises that you've given to us, that we can read, that we can study, and that we can hold in our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll lead and direct tonight. If there's one here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they'll trust in him tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, tonight or throughout this week, we're looking at the series called The Bible Stand. We're focusing on the Word of God, that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, that we can believe it, that we can trust it, and that his Word is true. So tonight, we're looking at the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, The first word is basic. I want to start with the foundation of the Word of God. And by doing that, I'm going to share with you a story with the help of my dear friend, Raleigh. Raleigh's going to come and help me share with you a story about a preacher. And you know, this preacher was a great preacher. He was a man of God. And you know, God came to this great preacher. And when he came to this great preacher, he told this preacher that he wanted him to do a job. Now, wouldn't that be special if God were to ask us to do something for him? Wouldn't that be really special? That would be really special, wouldn't it? Well, when God asked this preacher to do something important for him, do you know what he told God? He told God, no, I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine telling God no? And you know, men today tell God no all the time. Did you know that? The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But every day man tells God no. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to try just to climb over the walls of heaven. That's how I'm going to get there. And they try to do it their own way. But God says, believe on my Son and thou shalt be saved. Well, this man told God no. And I want to share with you this important story about a preacher who told God no and how God got a hold of his attention. This man learned much about God. He learned some important things about God that I want to share with you tonight. Because this man, the things that he learned are things that we should learn as well, that we should understand some important things from the Word of God. So you listen tonight as my friend Raleigh shares with us a story about a preacher who told God no. Hey, get my ear. Who's that? Get my ear. Oh, it's Raleigh. No, I'm introducing the story. Come on, I'm in here. But I'm introducing the story, please. I guess he wants to come out. You can let me out. Hey, would you hurry up out? Hey, take it easy, would you? Watch it. Hey, it's about time. Careful, watch it. You know I'm fragile. Take it easy. Careful. Raleigh,
yeah.
Your hair is a mess. Okay, fix it up. Are there any girls out there? Yeah, there are some girls out. Okay, fix up my hair because I want to look good to the girls. Hey, careful. Watch it. Hey, hey. Hey, look at all those good-looking girls. Why didn't you say hello to the guys? Nah, they're ugly. That wasn't very nice. It wasn't. No, that wasn't very nice at all. I want you to tell the guys you're sorry for doing what? For calling them ugly. Do I have to? Yes. Come on. I want you to tell the guys you're sorry. Okay, guys. Oh, that's hard. I know it's hard, but I want you to tell the guys you're sorry. Okay, guys, I'm sorry that you're ugly. That's not what I meant. It's not. No, let's go ahead and tell the story, okay? Okay. In fact, I want to share with you a story about a man by the name of Jonah. Jonah, hey, can I be Jonah? You want to be Jonah? I sure do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Why do you want to be Jonah? Because he's tall, dark, and handsome, just like me. Okay, I'll tell you what, just this time, okay? Okay. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't want to. What was that? I don't want to. Exactly. You see, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh either. I don't want to go because I can't pronounce it. You can't pronounce Nineveh? No way. Sure you can. No, I can't. Come on, try it. Okay. Wait a second. Slow down a little bit. Okay. Hold on, wait a second. I'll tell you what. Why don't you pronounce each syllable after me? Okay, here we go. Nin, nin, the. The. Nineveh. Forget it. You see, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because he can't pronounce it. Oh, no, Raleigh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he couldn't pronounce it. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because it was a wicked city. How wicked was it? Oh, Raleigh, Nineveh was so wicked, Jonah did not want to go. So what did he do? Jonah decided to go the opposite direction. Did God see him? Yeah. God saw Jonah as he was running from God, just as God sees us when we run from God. Oh, no. Jonah went down to Joppa, got onto a boat, and headed for Tarshish. You know how far that is? I certainly do. In fact, during the trip, it was such a long trip that God decided to get a hold of Jonah's attention. How did he do that? Well, Raleigh, he did that by sending a storm. A storm? How damn was it? Oh, Raleigh, this storm was so big and so fierce that the boat was going up and down and up and down and up. Hold it, hold it. Wait a second. Hold it. I'm getting sick. Raleigh, you can't get sick. Do you want to watch me? No, 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 not up here. Do you see, Jonah was in the bottom of this great big boat, fast asleep. As Jonah was sleeping away, these men came down below the deck, and they knocked on Jonah's door. Is it time to eat? No, that's not what he said. He said, aren't you afraid you're going to die? Aren't you afraid something terrible is going to happen? Why don't you pray to your God, did he? Well, Raleigh, he went above board, but he didn't pray. How come? Because he knew why that storm was there. He knew God was trying to get a hold of his attention. Oh, these men were so scared for their lives, they decided to cast lots. Do what? Cast lots. What does that mean? Well, that's kind of like picking someone to be it for a game of tag. Oh, who's it? Well, Raleigh, the Bible shares with us that the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah? Mm-hmm. What did he say? What do you mean, what did he say? Yeah, what did he say? Raleigh, I thought you were Jonah. Uh-oh. Look at the mess you guys got me into this time. Well, Raleigh, tell me something. Can you read? Can I read? Oh, of course I can read. I know, dummy. Very good. I want you to read for us Jonah chapter 1. Whoops. Got a problem here. The page turned. Yeah, elevating blow. Here we go. Raleigh, I want you to read this verse right here, verse 9. It's underlined. I see that. It's underlined because that's what I want you to read. How come? Well, because that's what Jonah said. When they found out who Jonah was, in fact, here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9, this is what Jonah said. Go ahead and read it right now. Yep, go ahead. Okay, okay. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Pretty good for a little kid, huh? Yeah, not too bad. Then they answered him back. Then said they unto him, what should we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Hey, you can read. Of course I can read, Raleigh. Then now they asked him, well, if you're the cause for all these problems, what can we do that the storm would cease? So right here in verse 12, this is what Jonah said. Should I read it? Yep, go ahead. Verse 12. Okay, okay. And he said unto them, take me up. Uh-oh. And cast me forth. I'm going to die. Into. I'm going to get wet. Into. It says the sea. I see that. Get me out of here. I'm going to die. Let me out of here. Get me out of here. Raleigh, you sure look calm. Well, Raleigh, they did not want to throw you overboard. They didn't? Oh, no. You see, they did not want Jonah's blood to be upon their hands. And what did that mean? Well, that means they did everything in their own power to try to get that boat to shore. Like, look. Well, they thought maybe if they threw a few things overboard. Overboard? Yeah. They thought if they throw the luggage. Wait a second. My clothes? Mm-hmm. Your clothes. I'm not going to have a thing to wear. Then they decided to throw the food. The food! I'm going to get hungry. They did everything to get that boat to shore, but it just didn't work. So finally, they picked up Jonah. Jonah? Mm-hmm. And they started to count. Count? What did that mean? Well, it went something like this. I had to ask. One, two. Hold it. Wait a second. Let me do the counting. Do I have to? Yeah, let me do the counting. Oh, no. One, pray for me. Two, oh, no. Hell! Why do you keep interrupting me like this? Because I did not know how to swim. Well, Raleigh, tell me something. As soon as Jonah hit the water, guess what happened? He got all wet. Well, we know he got all wet, Raleigh, but what did God do? I don't know. Oh, Raleigh, as soon as Jonah hit the water, the storm ceased, and I can get back in the boat now. No, no, you cannot get back in the boat now. Please. No, you cannot get back in the boat. How come? Well, because, see, God sent a great big fish to come for Jonah. Do you mean Jonah's going to go fishing? No, Jonah's not going to go fishing. The fish is going to go Jonah-ing. That great big fish got closer. Oh, is he big. And closer. Oh, is he big. And that great big fish opened up his great big mouth. That looks like you and your creature. And that fish got closer. Oh, is he big. And closer. Oh, is he big. And down went Jonah. No. Let me out of here. Get me out of here. Raleigh, what are you doing? I'm in the fish. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to die. No, Raleigh. You're not in the fish. Yeah, I am. Raleigh, you're not in the fish. It sure smells like it. Jonah spent 3 days in three. Raleigh, the girls want to see you. I'm alive. That was close. Yeah. Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And how do you think Jonah felt? Kind of down in the mouth, wouldn't you say? Yeah, he wasn't where God wanted him to be. He didn't do what God asked him to do. So right there in the belly of the fish, Jonah repented of his sin and told God that he would do exactly what God asked him to do. So the Bible shares with us that God caused that great big fish to go to shore. Don't say it. Don't say what? Skid up, that's gross. Oh, okay. He placed Jonah on shore. That's not better. Thank you. Now, Raleigh, tell me something. Where did Jonah go? To McDonald's. He's hungry. No. He went to Nineveh, that wicked city that God told him to go to in the first place. And you know, Jonah had the greatest revival that a man has ever had because he finally listened to God. Well, do you know what the moral of this story is? I sure do. Okay, you tell us. What's the moral to this story? You can't keep a good man down. I think the moral of the story is we should obey God in the first place and respond to his commands. Now, Raleigh, why don't you say goodbye to these fine folks? Okay. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Hey, thanks for coming. But, you know, I just got swallowed by a great fish. And I don't dim that way. Well, come on. Hey, we'll see you guys later. So long. Take it easy. Take it easy. We'll see you guys later. That's Raleigh. Amen. The story of the Mediterranean Sea. And Jonah, I view this as the Mediterranean Institute, because Jonah learned some important things about God right here in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. So if you have your Bible with you, open your Bible to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. And here in Jonah chapter 1, we're going to see just what Jonah learned about his God, that he learned some important things about God. And so here in Jonah chapter 1, first of all, I believe the first thing that Jonah learned was that God is a loving God. And isn't that true? God is a loving God. We think of verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that's our memory verse today. Today's memory verse is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a loving God. The Bible also tells us in other places about God's love, that God loved us so much, that's why he sent his son, and he died for our sin. But we also see God's love in Jonah chapter 1. Let me quickly share with you as an introduction. Hey, girls here in the front, could you be quiet and listen? Can you do that? Thank you. Okay. So verse 1 tells us as an introduction, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, listen to this, arise, he told Jonah to get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Well, first of all, that word wickedness, that's an understatement, because Nineveh was a very wicked city. They were known for their atrocities of war. They were wicked. And Nineveh was so wicked, and their hatred toward the Jews was so strong. They were the modern-day terrorists. They were wicked. They weren't interested in life. They weren't interested in serving the true and living God. And Jonah looked at that and said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. But yet, even though they were a wicked city, God still loved them. God loved them. Even though they were wicked, even though they hated life and weren't interested in the true and living God, God still loved them and told Jonah, I want you to go and tell them about my love. Tell them about their wickedness, and that if they remain in their wicked state and don't repent of their sin, I will destroy the city. They had 40 days to make up their mind what they were going to do. You know, we don't know how many days we have left. We might have 40 minutes left. We might have 40 hours left. We might have 40 weeks left. We might have 40 months left. We don't know. Maybe even 40 more years. We don't know. But God's mercy is such that we have an opportunity to share the good news of the lost, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a block of wood. And this block of wood has three silks in it. First of all, here's a yellow silk that represents God. You know, God always was. There never was a time when God did not exist. He always has been. He always will be. God, the great I am. He created man, Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve chose to partake of a fruit that God told them not to. And when they partook of that fruit, all men had become sinners. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Hence this black silk, which represents lost mankind, lost in our sin, bound for hell. The message is, trust in Christ. Just as Jonah told Nineveh, if you don't repent, you will be destroyed. The same message today. If we remain in our sin, choose to reject the Savior, we're going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. It's the same message that Nineveh received from Jonah, that you need to repent. Repent now, because the time is limited. Only 40 days. They just had 40 days. We don't know how long we have, but we do know this, that if we stand before God without Christ, we're going to be judged for all eternity in a place called hell. But you see, God loved us so much. Just as God loved Nineveh, God sent Jonah. But we also know that God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when God sent his only begotten Son, the Bible declares to us just what the Messiah would do. We know about Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Word of God shares with us that when the Messiah comes, he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea, that he would be born of a virgin. And not only that, but Jesus Christ will perform miracles, like he would cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He'll even raise the dead. But even though the Lord Jesus Christ did all those things, they still rejected him. They still rejected the Savior. The Bible shares with us that they took Jesus Christ one day and they crucified him. They rejected him. They said, we don't believe in this, you as being the Son of God. You're just a mere man. You're born in Bethlehem. But they chose not to believe God's word, that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. So they took Jesus Christ and they crucified him. And not only did they crucify him, but they took him down off that cross and they placed him into a tomb. They said, oh, he's dead now. He's gone. He's in the grave. See, he really isn't who he claims to be. He's just a mere man. He's not the Son of God. But on the third day, after the Sabbath, they came to the tomb. Remember Mary Magdalene? They came to the tomb. And you know, they found the rock or that stone rolled away. But you know something? That angel did not roll that stone away to let Jesus out. He didn't do that. You know why he rolled that stone away? He rolled that stone away to show the world that the tomb was empty. He arose. He conquered the grave. And right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father on high, interceding for you and me. He is risen. He's alive. And he's my Savior. The question is, do you understand God's love for you? That God loved you so much that even though we're born in sin, just like Nineveh, born in sin, God said, I'm going to destroy that city in 40 days. They had a choice to make, to believe Jonah's word or reject it. Today we have the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and spend eternity with God, or choose to reject him and spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Jonah learned some important things. First of all, he learned that God is a loving God. That God loves us so much that if we trust in Him, that we believe His Word to be true, that we will spend eternity in the presence of God. So first of all, I believe that Jonah learned, point number one, in this Mediterranean Institute, number one, that God is a loving God. But not only did Jonah learn that God's a loving God, but he also learned that God's a just God. That God is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. A lot of people say, oh, God's not going to do that. He won't do that. His love, no, his love demands it. His love demands it. That we choose to trust in him. That we choose to accept his son as our personal savior. You see, God is going to do exactly what he says. The Bible says, he that hath the son hath life. And he that hath not the son of God hath not life. God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. In other words, don't get into a competition with God because you're going to lose. Don't look up at God and say, well, I'm going to make God change his mind. I am so adorable. I am so beautiful. God won't destroy me. I'm just so adorable. I'll change God's mind. No, we will not change God's mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is a just God. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some ropes. And if you know me, you know that, boy, do I like ropes. Here we go. And I need some volunteers. Usually I pick a young lady and a young man to come up here and help me. How about this young man right here? Why don't you come up here? And let's have Susan. Will Susan be willing to come up here and give me a hand? Here we go. You can stand over here, okay? And we'll have Susan stand over here. There you go. Do you know how to tie a square knot? You do? Okay, well, we're going to do it together, okay? If you don't know it, we're going to learn. So you put the both ropes in your hand like this. We're going to tie a square knot in the end. So when we're done, we have this great big circle, okay? So if you take the rope in your right hand, put it over the rope in your left. There you go. And the rope that's on top, the rope in your right hand, twirl it to the middle and point it to the left. Point it to the left. Point it toward me. There you go. All right, you got it? Now take the rope in your left hand. Put it over the rope in your right, and then take the rope on top and twirl it to the middle, and you will have a square knot. Yep, you got it. There you go. How are you doing? Yep, you got it. Okay, now pull it good and tight. Just yank it as hard as you can. Get it good and tight. There we go. Now I'm going to grab the rope at the bottom. So when you let go ahead and let go, the knot's on the bottom. There we go. So I'm going to do the same here. I'll grab it down here. So when you let go, the knot's on the bottom. Very good. You team may have a seat. Give them a hand. Didn't they do a good job? Yeah. All right. Now, the Word of God shares with us, for the wages of sin is death. Now, first of all, wages are something that we have accomplished, a job that we've done. And what we receive because of our wages is death. The Bible says, so the wages of sin, because of our sin, because we know not Christ, the Bible shares with us that our wages, our payment, is death, eternity in hell. For the wages of sin is death. Well, I have three ropes here. And, of course, all three of these ropes are tied separately, right? But I want to share with you the binding power of sin. For the wages of sin is death. That because of our sin, we are bound by our sin. Because we're lost, condemned, we're slaves to our sin. And because we're slaves to our sin, we don't have the freedom. We're bound because of our sin. We're in chains because of our sin. But the Word of God shares with us, for the wage of sin is death. Yes, but there's no period there. Isn't that wonderful? It says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if we as a sinner were to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to spend eternity in hell, but Christ, you died for me. You died on the cross that I might have eternal life. And that if I as a sinner were to call upon his name and ask him to forgive me of my sin, the Word of God shares with us that he will break the binding power of sin that we might have eternal life. He will take this binding power and he will break it. He will set us free. The question is, what have we done with Christ? Have we trusted in him? Do we know him as our Savior? Because only he can break the binding power of sin that we might have eternal life. eternal life. So first of all, Jonah learned that God is a loving God, that he loves us so much. But not only did he learn that God's a loving God, he also learned that God's a just God, that God is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. But last of all, the last thing that Jonah learned is that God is a forgiving God. That's my favorite point, because he will forgive us if we call upon his name, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jonah learned that not only is God a loving God, and not only is God a just God, but he's also a forgiving God. If you look here in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Some people say, well, God changed. No, God didn't change. Nineveh did. Nineveh repented of their sin, turned from their sin, and look to the true and living God. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some blocks of wood. First of all, I got this blue block. It's a solid block. It has a hole through the center, and it represents man. I also have a black block here, also has a hole through the center, and it's a solid block, and it represents sin. Then I have up here a white block, also a solid block, has a hole through the center, and it represents God. So man, everybody in the world today, represented by the blue block, and sin by the black block, and all three of these blocks, and of course, you probably already guessed it, I have a couple of ropes. Oh boy, do I like ropes. Have I shared with y'all like ropes? Yeah? Okay. Well, in any case, these two ropes are solid. They're not going anywhere. So I'm going to take these two ropes here, and I'm going to go ahead and find the center of these two ropes, just like this. And I'm going to place these three blocks on these two ropes. First of all, I got this black block. And this black block represents what again?
Sin.
Represents sin. And we'll go ahead and stick him on here just like this. Here we go. And I'm going to make sure that this block, I'm going to put him right here in the middle. And I'm going to make sure that this block doesn't go anywhere, because I'm going to go ahead and tie it right here in the middle just like that. There we go. Now, I've got a problem. Let's see, name. Oh, I got an idea. How about if I get a volunteer? How about Abed? Would you be willing to come up here? Yeah, come on up here, Abed. Here we go. All right, you hold on to that in for me, okay? There we go. Now, first of all, we get this black block, and it represents what?
Sin,
yes. And then I have this white block, and it represents who? God. Very good. Represents God. And I'm going to place him on this side, just like this. Maybe help it a little bit. Here we go. Come on. Don't be so stubborn. Give him another hand. Oh, there we go. We got it. All right. Now, Abed, don't go anywhere. I still need your help, but let's switch ends, okay? You take that end. I'll take this end. There we go. And then I have this blue block, and this blue block represents who?
Man
represents everybody in the world today, okay? Here we go. So we're going to put him on this side. Place him on here. Here we go. All right. Now, Abed, don't go anywhere. I still need your help, okay? But let me have both ends so I can figure out what's going on here, okay? So I've got three ropes here, or two ropes, and I've got three blocks of wood. First of all, there's this blue block that represents who?
Man,
there you go. And a white block that represents who?
God,
very good. And a black block right in the middle that represents what?
Sin.
Uh-oh. That's a problem. Do you see the problem? God can't have fellowship with God because what's in the middle? With man because what? Sin. And man can't have fellowship with God because what's in the middle?
Sin.
It's our sin that separates us from God. It is the binding power that separates us. We're slaves to our sin. We can't do anything but sin against God. Man looks at this and says, what can I do? And they got all kinds of ideas. Baptism, church membership, communion. Oh, they got all kinds of ideas, but no hope. Can't know for sure. But the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if we look to him and ask him to forgive us of our sin, you know what he'll do? Let's see. Now, Abed, can you hold on to that black block, just the black one, not around the rope? There you go. Hold on to it good and tight, okay? Make sure it doesn't go anywhere, okay? You got it? Good and strong. There you go. You don't have the rope or anything like that, right? So the Bible shares with us, and you know, this block of wood, that sin, is tied in the middle. Not only is it tied in the middle, Abed has a hold of it. It's not going anywhere. And we think, but that's impossible. But God can do the impossible. That if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And you know what he'll do? He'll take that sin block right out from between God and man that we might have eternal life. Only through Christ can we spend eternity with him. And I know I can see it on your faces. How in the world did you do that? Well, just ask Abed. He's the one who did it. Thank you so much. You did a good job. Let me shake your hand. There you go. All right. Give him a hand. He did a good job. I am so glad that he knew how to do that. How did you do that, brother? Jonah learned some important things about God. He first of all learned that God is a loving God. And you know something? God loves you. He does. He loves you. But he hates your sin. Not only did Jonah learn that God's a loving God, but he also learned that he's a just God. That he will judge sin because he hates sin, but he loves you. That's why he sent his son. Not only did Jonah learn that God's a loving God and that God's a just God, but he also learned that God's a forgiving God. He'll forgive you today if you trust in him and call upon his name. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you so much for this first night of Vacation Bible School. We pray, Father, that you'll lean direct, open doors, allow us to have more children each day and every day, and we'll so thank you for it. We thank you for those who are here tonight that are willing and able to come and be a part of our Vacation Bible School. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, preacher, you come.
We're going to break out into some sessions here. We've got different places we're going to do. First of all, listen real close. This on? Yeah. Listen real close. We're going to break up into two groups tonight. Normally we'll have three, but tonight we're going to have two groups. So what I'm going to do is all these girls that are here tonight, the two girls in the front and the two girls in the back, you're all going to be in one group, okay? You can kind of help them get to where they need to be and get them started. And then everybody else, the three boys up front, including Susan and Obed and the young man in the back, we're going to put you guys in another group. And Brother Kevin, I'm going to kind of let you oversee them if that's okay with you, brother. But before we do that, there's a couple of characters that we want to introduce to you, and we're going to need some help. We're going to need some help from the adults. How many of y'all adults have a little bit of spare change on you? Just a little bit of spare change or maybe a dollar, anything? Okay. Okay, let's go around and I'll explain what we're doing. Donate